We are on lesson number, Lesson number five. It's entitled Moses. It comes to us out of Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. So again, we'll say good morning.
Good morning.
Did you find anything?
I found it. I ain't worried about it. It's got more in front of it than it's worth getting to. But I told my wife the same thing I would answer to anybody. I was teaching without it before. We'll be all right. If I can find the lesson in this iPad, we'll be even better. All right, how was your week?
Good.
It's warm in here again.
Yep.
It's nice to see y'all out.
Good to see you.
Did you guys have a great week?
Yes.
I tell you what, if you didn't come to PBS this year, you'll never be able to get what we had, and we had a wonderful time. I would encourage you all to make every effort possible to participate when PBS comes around. You don't have to work. You can just come and watch. It's an exciting time to be able to see the children. And this year, I think we had more children than we've had in a few years. We had children in the church, in every room, running up and down every hallway, laughing and smiling, having a wonderful time. And on top of all of that, they took in what we presented to them about Jesus Christ. They learned some scriptures, they heard some good word, they got some excellent teaching, and if nobody else says it, I'll be the first one to say it. They left here better than they came in. And on yesterday, we had It's a Palooza. That's our big finale for VBS, and we had, I'm thinking somewhere around 90, maybe 95, maybe 100 kids out here. And they played hopscotch and four square, and they threw water balloons, and they ate, and they ate, and then they did it all over again. And while it is something we can chuckle about this morning, we have to take a moment and just consider what happened yesterday. Yesterday, between the hours of probably up until about 2 o'clock, 11 and 2, probably 2:30, someone hung around for a while. Yesterday, between the hours of 11 and probably about 2:30, we had approximately 95 children on the parking lot and in the building of Great Liberty. That was 95 children that weren't out getting told bad things. That was 95 children that weren't out experiencing the evil that the world has to offer. That was 95 children that wasn't getting drug into some business they had no business doing. So if we close the doors today, at least we can say on yesterday, we helped 95 children be better children. And I think that's something that you should be proud of. I think that's something that you should make note of, because a lot of churches don't have VBS anymore. I know it's shocking to hear, but it is the truth. Some came to be with us. And we welcomed them in, not as strangers. Some of them walked in and we said, help in this class. And they went right in and helped. They didn't ask any questions. I was out in the hallway. And then we got a lesson to teach. We can't talk about this past week, are we? But I was out in the hallway. I think it was Wednesday night, doing my normal thing, hugging kids as they walked by, saying hi to them. And I hugged the kid I knew. And behind them was a kid I didn't know.
Yeah.
And before I could turn loose the kid I didn't know was like that. And I said, I ain't afraid, I'll hug you too. It's such a good thing. All right, we better get started for the daylight runs away from us. We're on Moses. It comes to us out of Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Y'all ready to pray?
Yes.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, the first thing we're going to do before we do anything else, we want to start this hour off by simply saying, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In all that we did last week, we understand we did nothing that made us worthy of today. But somewhere in the wee hours of last night, grace fell down upon our house and whipped its way through the walls and found us cuddled up in our bed. And it was your grace that said another day is yours. It was your grace that said, this is the moment that I will take you from a state of sleeping to a state of awake so that you can see what I'm gonna do today. It is by your grace that we are here this morning. So if we do nothing else today, we want to pause long enough to say, thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you, Father, for giving us opportunity that we do not and could not deserve. Father, we want to thank you for this lesson on Moses that you have gotten together for us today. Father, we would ask that as we prepare to teach it, you would come and sit in the room. We ask, Father, that you just not sit there, but you say something, Father. Not just anything, Father, but that you speak the lesson so that every ear in the room can hear from you. So that every heart in the room can feel the warmth of your presence. For every soul in the room can feel the quickening of your spirit. We simply want your presence. Father, we ask that you would clear our minds. We've heard a lot, we've seen a lot since the sun comes up. Some good, some bad, some confusion, some complimentary. But whatever it was, Father, we simply ask you clear our minds that we can talk about you, hear from you, and begin to grow into being the type of Christian men and women you would have us to be. In the wonderful, healing, loving, teaching, keeping, uplifting, strengthening, directing, guiding, keeping name of our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, here we are. Exodus. Studying on Moses. Everybody ready? All right, here we go. Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses, the scripture says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Moses, you've seen the story on TV. This morning we get to witness it with our imagination. Here is Moses keeping the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro. Moses has moved the flock of sheep over to what was referred to as the mountain of God, which was over by Horeb. The note says, Jethro is first introduced to us in Exodus 2 and 18. He is introduced to us there as Reuel. Jethro's name, Reuel, the note says, means friend of God. They would suggest to you in the note, and I don't disagree, that Reuel is the proper name of Jethro. So Jethro, when he was introduced in the book of Exodus as the name of Reuel, we came to understand that Jethro was a friend of God. Now, I want us to get that, because I think it is critical. Look at Jethro, and then look at what God does through Jethro. If you study the scriptures, you'll come to understand that Jethro, being the father-in-law of Moses, means that Moses married one of Jethro's daughters. It was critical for Moses to hook up with Jethro when he got put out of Egypt, because with Jethro, Moses came to get a better understanding of the scriptures, even though we find out that Moses wrote a lot of scriptures. It was at Jethro's table that the conversation on scripture took place. Now you may question, how could Jethro be so wise? We find out that Jethro was a priest. What we know about Jethro is he was a priest, but he was a different kind of priest. Because he, as far as I can tell, he doesn't come from the Levitical tribe, but yet he was prospered into the position of being a priest. Let's keep going. Verse 2 says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush." Now, let me just read it. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." In verses 2 and 3, and maybe I just missed it in the times I've read the scripture before, but in verses 2 and 3, there was quite the revelation for me. For some reason, I had forgotten that Moses had heard from this bush twice. The first time Moses hears from the bush here in verse 2 is the angel of the Lord. It is the messenger of God that first speaks to Moses. That's verse 2. And I was so excited about that. I wanted to bring it to your attention that when God has a good word to give to you, he often will send a messenger to announce God's got something to say. It was critical that Moses sat at the table of Jethro to have conversations about the scripture so Moses would understand that when God calls you through his messenger, you need to take a seat and hear what he has to say. And now Moses stumbles onto a bush, verse 2, a bush that is on fire but not consumed. It has to be God. We know from the study of plants that there is one plant on the earth that emits a gas that can be lit and not burn. But that plant is a succulent. It comes out of the hot arid places of the world. But there's a difference between a bush having to be lit and a bush that's already burned. I thought that was phenomenal. Because it shows us in nature, man has tried to emulate what God does. Discover a bush that we can light that will hold a flame and not be consumed versus God who didn't need a match. It was the presence. It was the presence of God that took over the bush, and the bush so enthralled with God taking up residence, lit on fire, but did not burn. See, it could not burn. It could not burn because the presence of God was there. Nothing can consume the presence of God. So as long as the presence of God was in the bush could be on fire, but not burn. Moses' first occurrence with the burning bush is the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked and beheld the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not burned. Verse 3, and Moses said, after hearing the voice of the angel, Moses looks at the bush and discovers the bush is burning but has not burnt. It's got a flame, but it is not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside. I want you to know, when God speaks to you in unusual ways, he wants your immediate attention. After Moses witnessed what he saw and what he heard, Moses tells the sheep, you figure it out. I got a message to go get. Because the scripture says that Moses says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Moses got news of the burning bush from the angel that spoke to him first. And now Moses says, I believe you, and I believe you so much that I got to go see it for myself. so he abandons his intentions to follow his purpose. I said he abandoned his intentions to follow his purpose. One of the things that I think we as Christians in modern times neglect is we are all about the planning. We are all about what our intentions are. We're going to do this and get a committee together, and the committee is going to decide how we're going to do it, and come hell or high water, that's how it's going to be done. But we learn something from the scriptures. All that Moses had planned to do faded away when he got news of God's presence. So we, if we take it from the scriptures, we as a people, as a church, as a world, need to get in the practice of when God speaks, listen. Work ain't that important when God speaks. Can you imagine on the corner of our parking lot at Sierra and Chapman is a sign that says Greater Liberty. Next, on either side of that sign, there's always been a bush. Can you imagine if when you pulled out of here today, that bush was on fire, but it didn't burn? Would you still go home? I would abandon my intentions to see what my purpose was. And that's what we need to do as Christians. When God shows himself in our lives, what's on TV ain't important no more. We need to stop and see, why am I so worthy that God would step in my pathway for me to bear witness of his presence? Just thought I'd throw that in. And Moses said, I will now turn and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God, verse 4 says, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. There's something that happens in that portion of verse 4. Notice the Spirit was present. The Spirit of God was present all the time. That's why the bush was on fire, but the bush didn't burn. So the Spirit of God was present all the time. But the Spirit of God had been silent. God sent his angel. The angel of the Lord spoke to Moses. But the Spirit of God being present hadn't said a word. And then Moses says, I'm going to turn to see why this bush burns, but is not burnt up. And the scripture says, when the Lord, God, heard Moses say, I'm going to abandon my plan to get my purpose, then the Spirit of God speaks. It's a revelation for me, and I hope it's a revelation for you. The scripture teaches in verse 4 that God is waiting for us to acknowledge him before he says what he came to say. God is not going to speak into a vessel that won't receive what he has to say. All you and I have to do is, when we're in the presence of God, shut up and be still and hear what God has to say. How many times have we missed what God wanted to tell us because we wouldn't turn aside from our intentions to hear about our purpose? I thought that was the lesson all by itself. I figured we can close up and go home now. We got new inspiration that reminds us that when we come into the presence of God, God doesn't show up just because he can. He has something he wants you to have. And if you can turn aside from everything else that's going on in your life, God will say something to you to get you through that moment. I thought that was pretty good. Verse 4 says, and when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses gets confirmation. God from inside the bush says to Moses, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. God says to Moses, Moses, this is not just a plant that someone lit that could burn. He said, Moses, here I am. This is God. Moses gets the revelation that because he was willing to wait and see God, God has now spoken to him. How many times have you walked past your burning bush and missed your message? I tell you, when God shows up in a strange way, you might want to stand still long enough to see whether God has something to say or he just spared your life. But it's worth pausing to listen. The next time you're standing on the corner and the walk light says walk, and a car comes speeding down, and for some reason you don't move, you better wait to hear what God had to say. The next time you're running late trying to get out the house, and as you get to the front door because you're 5 minutes late and there's an accident out in front of your house, you better wait. God has something to say. Moses looks at the bush. God speaks to Moses from the bush. God calls Moses by his name twice. God says, Moses. The first Moses that God speaks is to get Moses' attention. Because Moses sees a bush that's on fire, but doesn't quite get why the bush is burning. And I believe, it's not written in the scripture, but I believe in Moses' mind, there might have been an instant of confusion as to why is this doing what it's doing. So God says to Moses, to snap him out of his thought, Moses, the bush speaks. Moses knows bushes don't talk. Moses knows that this must be someone special in the bush. So the first Moses is to stop his thought. The second Moses is to confirm, I know who you are. The first Moses, Moses, what? The second Moses, Moses. Moses, in his own mind, I believe the scripture would validate it. On the second Moses, Moses has focused in on the bush. And when God says Moses, in Moses' mind, Moses goes, yep, that's who I am. He now understands that the spirit that is embodying this bush that burns but does not burn up knows who he is. And then God says, here am I. God says to Moses in modern day speech, what you came to find, you found it. I'm here, Moses. Anytime God shows up, we got to be patient enough to see what he has to say. Verse 5 says, and he said, the bush, God speaking through this bush that's on fire, and he said, draw not nigh hither. Modern speak, stop right where you are.
Yes, sir.
Put off your shoes from your off your feet, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy ground. God wanted Moses to understand that though this may not be a tabernacle, and though this may not be a synagogue, but because I am here, God makes a church surrounding a burning bush. God tells Moses, it's not about where you are, it is about who is where you are at. God says, Moses, because I am here in this bush, this place is now holy. Take off your shoes. It's interesting that God would declare to Moses, take your shoes off of your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. The indication comes in multiples. The first one says, God allowed Moses to get close enough that he could be in a holy place with his shoes on, but wouldn't let him get closer until he changed his way of getting there. Moses had walked amongst the sheep. Remember, verse 1? Moses was tending to the flock of his father-in-law, Jesse, and Moses had been walking with these sheep. And only God really knows what Moses stepped in. But isn't it interesting that God declares to Moses, This place is holy. Leave your mess at the door. Leave your dirt at the door. Kick off your shoes that you've been protecting out there with the sheep and walk in here with clean feet. The implication is that when we enter into the presence of God, God wants us to leave the stink of where we used to be at the door. God does not want Moses to be conflicted or confounded by where he used to be and distract him from where he is. So God declares, take off your shoes. And then God declares, God states rather, the ground you stand on is holy. And all Moses needs to know, he gets in that statement. Moses understands because of the conversation he's had at Jethro's table. Moses understands that when God is in the midst of his people, that place is holy. So Moses now gets a confirmation because God says to Moses, take off your shoes, the place where you stand is holy. Moses gets another confirmation that he's not drunk, he's not crazy, he hasn't lost his mind. This is God. The point for you and I would simply be, God doesn't always show up in the form in which you think he should, but when he does, he'll confirm it's him. You don't ever have to guess if it's God. God will show up and tell you, Ed, here am I. God will confirm for you who he is. And in the demonstration of his presence, the declaration will be made that wherever I am, this is holy. This is holy. So the good news for you and I is this. If God visits you at home, you live in a holy house. That means you don't have to be at 6209 to shout. You don't have to be at 6209 to have a word of prayer and to sing a hymn. We ought to be able to worship wherever we want God to be, because when God shows up, that place becomes holy. For those of us that will punch the clock tomorrow morning, when you get to your desk, sit there and say a word of prayer and watch the demons flee, because the demons cannot exist in the place that is holy. Get up before your spouse tomorrow and say a word of prayer and then chuckle when they wake up in a good mood, because demons, all right, I'll leave it alone. I just want you to get the information, the impression, the realism, the truth. That when God is in a place, that place is holy. And wherever is holy, where God resides, demons can't stand to be there. So if you live in a house full of hell, make it holy. Watch them flee. If you are the house of hell, make it holy. Did that go too far? Is that your first one? But if you are the one with the problem, you've now been given the information on how to solve your problem. Invite God into you and watch your situation change. Moses comes to realize he's standing on holy ground. He's in the presence of God. Nobody stands on holy ground in the presence of God without God getting ready to do something spectacular. Moses, pay attention. Verse 5 again. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Verse 6a says, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father. Moses, just in case you're not clear on who this burning bush is, let me explain to you. I'm not a friend of your father. I'm not your father's neighbor. I am the God of your father. The scripture says, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham. Moses is well schooled on Abraham. He knows the significance of Abraham. The scripture says, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and I'm the God of Jacob. Moses now understands. Moses now knows for certain to whom he is in the presence of. Verse 6b. And Moses, now coming to the realization that he's on a holy place, that he's in the presence of God. 6b says, and Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Moses went from curiosity. I got to go see this bush that is burning, but not yet consumed. To hearing the voice of God call his name, not once, but twice. To hearing the voice of God say, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To now, Moses, realizing where he's at, chooses to hide his face for the fear of the Lord. The note says Moses' reaction of fear is immediate. He had been eager to see this great sight before him. Now he shields his face from it as if he learns who is speaking to him. At this moment, Moses understands with clarity, this is God. Moses goes back to his training growing up, and Moses realizes, but no man is to see the face of God. So Moses takes his coat, his cloak, his apparel, and he brings it up in front of his face so that he does not glance at the face of God. The note says, now he shields his face from it as he learns who is speaking to him. Moses may well recall his ancestor Jacob's surprise at being still alive after seeing the face of God in Genesis 32 and 30. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen. It's good news that God is certain of what he has seen. The scripture says, and I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. Stop right there. Highlight that. Put it on your refrigerator. Because it's good for us to be reminded that when we're going through it, God is still watching. You might be alone in the fight, but God is still watching. God's not going to let that thing progress to a point where you can't come back. God is watching. He confirms that here in the scriptures. The scripture says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. Moses got kicked out of Egypt because Pharaoh got mad. Moses left. And now Moses is on his way because the scripture says God has been watching the affliction of his people in Egypt. The next part of the verse says, and I have heard their cry. Good news for you and I. Highlight that part. Put it on your refrigerator. When you are screaming out, God, where are you? Know this for sure. God is listening. If you are calling on God and God has not yet shown up, do not think he has abandoned you. Know that he is listening. But God sees your situation from a clear vantage point. When you think, like, Lord, I'm dying, God says, oh, no, you're not. I'm watching you. Just hold on. God is listening for their cry. It says, I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. You are not the only one feeling your pain. It used to be a common statement years ago. Somebody would be talking about their tough situation and they would go, does anybody else feel my pain? I got good news for the Christians. God has already felt your pain. He knows what you're going through. In this particular verse 7, we find out that God is watching you as you go through it. We find out that God is listening as you go through it. And if that wasn't enough, the scripture says that God knows your sorrows. He's feeling your pain as you go through it. Verse 8. Verse 8, the first part of 8. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. After seeing, after hearing, and after knowing, God said, I've had enough. So to the Israelites, the message would be, all of your crying and suffering, God has not yet shown up, but God has not neglected you. He's been watching, he's been listening, and he feels your pain. For me, and this is just for me, that is the greatest comfort in my sorrows, of knowing that even though I cry in my closet, God is watching. Even though I call out and don't get any response, God is listening. Even though I'm hurting to the very essence of my being, God knows my sorrows. God is waiting on the right time to deliver me, just like he waited on the right time to prepare to deliver Israel. So the scripture says, verse 8a, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. 8a tells us a lot. The first thing 8a tells us is that God is on his way. The scripture says, and I am come down. God moves from a position of watching over you, from a position of listening above you, to a position from feeling your pain from a distance, to coming down. Isn't it good to know? For me, it's good to know that when I'm hurting, God is coming to stand by my side. The scripture says it, and God speaks it, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. The next thing we learn about that, out of verse 8a, it says, and to bring them up and out of the land, unto a good land. So God says, I'm going to bring you to a good land. The indication is the land you're in must not be so good, because he's going to bring you into a good land. So this proves what the previous verse said when it said that God was watching. God had to know I was in a sucky place if he's coming to bring me to a better place. The next thing we look at in verse 8a, he's going to bring us into a good land. It's going to be large. Apparently, the Israelites, when they were in Egypt, were kept in such a confined space that they were crowded. Because God specifies, I'm going to bring you to a place that's better than where you are. And then on top of that, God says large. He says, I'm going to give y'all some room. He said, maybe God understands that a part of Israel's problem is that they're too close to one another. They need to spread out a little bit, because he declares it's going to be large. The next statement out of 8a, it says, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. The indication is that God wants them to know that I have a place for you where only the best is. A land flowing. No more milking. A land flowing with milk. No more bitterness, because that land has the sweetness of honey. God says, I'm taking you to a place far better than the place you have been held. Next part of verse 8. 8b says, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. God is clearing some land for his people. God is clearing some land for his people. In studying the Bible, we find out that these places listed, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, were all places of conflict for Israel.
Right.
Thank you, Brother Mark. We find out that what God is declaring is the land you lost in the fight, I'm going to give it back to you. God says, I'm going to go beat your enemy for you and give you back what they took. That's good news.
But teacher, that's interesting that Moses knew exactly. God told Moses where they were going.
Exactly.
But when we read the story of the Bible, it's like they were wandering lost. They were never lost.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's what happens to a people that get too confident in what they think they already have.
Amen.
They got, if we read ahead, we find out they get full of themselves and lose their mind. And God says, since you lost your mind, I'm going to let you lose your way. But that's a whole nother lesson. But you're exactly right, Brother Leah. Verse 9 says, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. Go back a verse. God says, I'm listening to the cries of my people. And now we jump down in verse 9 and God says, now the cries of my people have come to me. God says, I want you to know I was listening then, but now they've come to me in such a way that it's time to change some things. So look at verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen, go back a few verses, didn't it say God was watching?
Yeah.
God's confirming, and I've been watching. I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. The Lord repeats the fact that of his awareness, the note says. Great sentence, sums it all up. The Lord repeats the fact that he is aware. He gives confirmation to Moses that I know what I know.
Yeah.
He repeats himself. Verse 10. Verse 10 says, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people and the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses was good up until verse 10. Moses knew he was in the presence of God. Moses knew that God was talking to him. Moses knew that God had a purpose to all of this. And then God says, Moses, I'm going to send you back to the place that you got kicked out of. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Not only am I planning on sending you back into the land that you got ostracized from, but I'm going to send you back to the leadership that ostracized you. It sounds frightening. It sounds frightening. But this time when Moses goes back to Egypt, there's a difference. He now enters Egypt not living under assumed royalty, but walking in the royalty of the Lord. There is a difference. Next verse, verse 11. And Moses said, God said, Moses, you're going back. In verse 10, in verse 11, Moses starts to talk. Moses says unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Lord, I've had that fight, Lord, and I didn't come out too good. Moses says, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Lord, I tried. It didn't work out too good. God says to Moses, you're going back. Moses has a moment of conflict. Because Moses knows who he is. Moses knows what he's been through. Moses knows the challenges he has seen. And Moses said, Lord, I am not the one. Isn't it funny when you look at Moses and Moses says, Lord, I am not the one. The sad side of it is God has said the same thing to you and I. And we have declared we are not the one. What we need to learn from Moses, from the story of Moses, from the scripture is you, me, I won't talk about you, me within myself, I am not the one to spread the gospel to the world. But me and a burning bush, we can change some things. I know it from the story of Moses that when we go with God, where God sends us, with all of his power, with all of his authority behind us, we can change some things. Moses is looking at the physical state of the man he knows. And Moses says, Lord, I'm old now. I can't go. Lord, I faced off with him before. It wasn't too good. God want Moses to understand that this time you don't go under an assumed authority. You go with the authority. Things are changing. All right, next verse. And he said, certainly I will be with thee. That's not Moses talking. That's God talking to Moses. Moses says in verse 11, who am I that I should go to Israel, back to Egypt, and face Pharaoh? And God says to Moses, you're not going alone.
Amen.
I'm going with you. Good news for 2017 Christians. When God tells you to get up and go do something, you don't have to go alone. God's going with you. I by myself cannot witness to the world. I cannot do it. But when the Lord says, let's go, and he's going with me, I can talk to anybody about anything because the Lord goes with me. Verse 12, and he says, certainly I will go with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Verse 12, the latter portion of verse 12, might be the most dramatic verse I've read in a long time. Here is Moses, 11 verses ago, tending to sheep. And they weren't even his. They were his father-in-law's sheep. Moses was working for his wife's dad. Just 11 verses ago. From there, Moses gets word from a messenger of God that the bush is burning. And Moses says, the sheep will have to wait. I got to go see this bush. Number one, he was willing. Moses goes to see this burning bush, and the voice of God speaks to Moses, and Moses listens. And we get all the way down. I don't want to leave out this part. Excuse me. When Moses got to the bush, remember what did God say to Moses?
Take your shoes off.
For the ground you stand upon is holy ground. Now get back to verse 12. And God says to Moses, go and do this for me. And when the children of Israel come out of Egypt, you, Moses, shall serve God, Moses, on this mountain. He went from sheep to a sanctuary. It's fabulous. He went from a pasture to a place of holiness just if he would do what God had called upon him to do. I think it speaks to us more so in 2017 than a lot of things. It reminds us that when God speaks into our lives that he has something for us to do, all we have to do is do it. And the situation we are in, we will leave and go into a better situation. Moses left herding sheep to the potential of serving God on his holy mountain. That's all I got for you. Questions, comments, concerns?
Yeah, one quick comment. That
yes, sir.
That was illuminated to me through this lesson is that a lot of times in a tedious or stressful or seemingly unproductive situations, you want to get delivered. You want to get brought out from Egypt.
Yeah.
And we focus on the deliverance and get me out. Lord, hear my cry. And the Lord does that. But he brings us out to bring us in. That's a lesson I got from this.
Yeah, Israel, and that's a great point, Mark. Israel was brought out of Egypt where they were bound in servants. They were servants to Egypt. They were slaves. They were there to do the work of Egypt. God brought them out of a situation of unpleasant servitude to a place of sanctified servitude. And there's a difference. If you would ask our ancestors, there's a difference from working for somebody for nothing, for what we do, working for something. when they were in Egypt, they got nothing for their trouble, but more trouble. But God promised them that he would bring them out of that mess into a better situation. You're 100% right. They became benefactors in working for the Lord. Anybody else? Comments, concerns, praise reports, prayer requests?
What did Pastor say this morning about the young man who was not sinners or something?
Oh, Darian West, Tracy's son. He got rear-ended. And as a result of that accident, he had to go through several tests and some MRIs and so forth. I have not heard the status. I believe he's okay, but I just have not. I have not heard officially. Darian, Tracy's son. Tracy said Tuesday he was better. Thursday he was better. Okay. Anybody else? All right. Well, we're gonna go to church then. I hope from today's lesson you got what the Lord had for you. If you leave this room with nothing but one thing, I would like for you to take the reality that God never takes you from a bad situation to a worse situation. God will always improve where he carries you if you're willing to go. Remember, he hears your cry. Remember, he's watching out for you. He might not jump in just because you get hit. God's not going to jump in and hit back for you. But he ain't going to let you get hit to the point where he can't help. Remember, he's watching. Remember, he's watching. Thank you so much for coming out. I hope you got what the Lord had for you. I want you to enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Be careful and safe on this holiday. You know, we get a little crazy on the 4th of July. We fireworks and shooting up into the air and drinking too much and all sorts of things. Y'all be careful. Y'all be careful. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, the first thing we're going to do is say thank you, Father. We ask you to show up, and I believe, that you're here. So thank you, Father, for sitting in the class with us today and explaining your word to us, Father, that we might be better than we first came in the door. So thank you, Father, for that. We want to thank you, Father, for inspiring us through the life of Moses that we can come to understand when you speak, this good reason for us to stop and listen. Thank you, Father, for showing us through the life of Moses that though the world might cast us out, you can always have a purpose for us, Father. We might not be their favorite, but we're one of your favorites. So thank you, Father. We are grateful for that. We would ask, Father, that you would write the words of this lesson on our heart, that this week when Satan jumps up and tries to scare us off the mark, Father, that this lesson would remind us that we have a burning bush that has gone into the world with us, and we will not be left alone. Father, we would ask that you would bless Brother Jerry West, Father, after this accident that he was involved in. We don't know all the particulars, but we do know this, he's still here. We do know, Father, that you had him in the midst of the accident. So we are grateful for that, Father, for any injuries that he might have sustained, Lord. We would ask that you would heal him according to your will and according to your way. Father, keep a watch over Sister Jean Jordan, Father, as she recovers from her procedure and begins to make even more progress. We want to say thank you, Father, for what you have done, and we can't wait to see what is next. Father, we want to ask, Lord, that you would run down Desmond this morning and find Sister Alberta Pillar and let her feel the warmth of the people here at the church, the presence of God in her home, Father. Let her know, though she can't get out every Sunday anymore, you are still with her every day of the week, Father. We would ask, Father, that you would comfort that family as they care for their mother and their grandmother. Father, finally, we would ask that for the one that's going to preach a word this morning, you would grab hold of him now, Father. Pour your spirit into him that demons and doubt will flee, that distractions will run out the building, that he can get up and stand before your people and regardless of what he's planned to say, speak to him, Lord, that you can speak to us, that we might be better Christians for it, Father. Father, we thank you, we love you, we bless your holy name. For myself, Lord, I just say thank you for doing what you've done before one more time. In the wonderful, healing, loving, keeping, restoring name of our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
I just need to check it before he starts.
Let me turn this off before I talk to you.